All right, so we're on the third letter. Remember, this is an acrostic poem. Psalms 119 is written. So every heading is the letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And remember, every first letter or first word starts with the letter that it's under. So we're under Gimel, which in our, if we were saying English, it would be letter C. So imagine every first verse here starting with the letter C. So that's how this verse works here for Psalms 119. So I just want to put this out there. He's not here. I really want you to see the artistic aim of the Holy Spirit. How, again, this psalm here that we're reading, every first letter or word for each verse starts with the Hebrew letter that is under Gimel. And I'm like, imagine if you could rap that way. Like, imagine how hard it would be to rap, create a rap, and every first word of your verse that you're getting starts with one letter. And so I tried to do that, right? Which I'm not a rapper, bro.
I know. But I was just spiritually, mentally,
yeah.
I had writer's block, and because I've been trying to write already.
Yeah.
Before you asked me, but I got you on that challenge.
All right. So on the next ones, we got a whole bunch of letters.
A whole bunch of letters. So
yeah.
I'm going to ask you a verse.
We're verse 17. Or what's it?
The book.
Psalms 119.
Yeah, no, brother. I want to do it for you. I want to do it. If I read it.
Yeah, no, that's what I. So this is what I wrote. I'm not a rapper. I put, Christ rules everything around me. Y'all know, somebody know what I'm talking about. I says, Cash, you're not even close. Confused and lost before I met Jesus. Christ is where I now make my boast. Could it really be that Christ would die for a sinner like me? Could it really be that he would set me free? So that's my little rap. I'm not a rapper, y'all. So they all start with a C, but that's what's happening here in Psalms 117. Every first word starts with the Hebrew letter Gimel, right? See, so that's what I was trying to give you. That's what the artist, the psalmist does throughout this whole song. That's what I'm saying. The Holy Spirit, God is an artist. He's a poet. And he's using poetry, using art to communicate truth. So that's just awesome. Like, you see, I can't do it, but this is, look what we're reading. So let's read, 17 through 24, and then we'll come back and discuss it. And because time is definitely, it's already 11:52, I'll probably just touch on one or two verses, and then we're going to have Ricardo, I believe, come up, right? And he'll share his testimony or whatever he wants to say.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Then we'll prepare for the baptism. All right. Psalms 119, starting in verse 17.
Verse 17.
Oh, the light went out, right? For this. Oh, it's on now. Maybe I didn't press it on. All right.
Hey, what's this trial and error right here?
All right.
Hey, we're giving it our all.
Cool. And so last week, I just want to summarize. So last week we spent our whole time talking about delighting in God's word and how do you go about doing that. And so we were looking at verse 16 and verse 18. So we're going to skip 18 today because we spent all our time last week studying 16 and 18 about how do I delight in the law of the Lord? How do I delight in God's word? And so just quickly, the first way in delighting with the Lord, the first steps you want to do is you want to speak it. Like the psalmist does there, where he says, I shall delight in your statutes. I shall not forget your word. So you want to speak that and say, God, I will not forget your word. I will delight in your statutes. And then the second step you want to do is verse 18. You want to humbly pray and recognize I can't do it on my own. So God, I need you to open my eyes so that I can behold wonderful things from your law. And we looked at a verse that's similar in the New Testament. It's the one that Fernie had found right after a Sunday when I gave the homework assignment. But it's in Ephesians chapter 1 where Paul is praying for the Ephesians, for the eyes of their hearts to be enlightened. And so he's praying for God to enlighten the eyes of their heart. And so you see the psalmist here in Psalms 18 doing the same thing. He's asking God to open his eyes so that he can behold wonderful things from God's word. So in order for us to delight in God's word, again, we want to speak it, but also we want to pray and ask God to help us to see wonderful things from the scripture. And then we also talked about another verse in Psalms 119, it's verse 36, 37, where 37, where the psalmist says to turn my eyes from looking at vanity and revive me in your ways. So one of the ways that stops us from delighting in God's word is we turn our eyes to vain or worthless things versus God's word. And that can distract from our joy in God. So we want to watch what we watch. We want to watch what we put our eyes on, because it could steal God's, it could steal the glory away, because now we're putting our joy in something else versus God's word. So those were the three main things we touched on. We touched on some practical ways on what we do when we're feeling dull, when we're reading the word of God and you're not seeing anything. How do we break through that? And so people gave some examples of things that they've done or that they do to break through that dullness. And I brought the book that I told you, this is one of my go-tos here. When I'm reading the word of God and I'm not seeing anything, it's dull. I'm just seeing letters on pages. Nothing is jumping out to me. This is one of my go-tos. It's Tim Keller's book here, The King's Cross. And it's something about, I don't know, when I start reading this book, as Sister Debbie says, it does something where it just warms my heart. I think that's the word you use, right?
Somebody else said that, actually. I don't remember who it was.
Okay, it was something like that. Like, it just warms my heart. And I find myself able to go back into the scriptures and I'm seeing things. So sometimes when we're dull in a word, you want to go pray. You maybe want to just put on worship music, maybe go for a prayer walk and ask God to just open your heart and warm your heart so that when you go in the scriptures, you're seeing glory. You're seeing wonderful things, as the psalmist says. So those are just some practical things we touched on last week. Now for today, we're going to just really, with time going, I'm just probably going to do one verse. Let me see. Yeah, we'll do just this one. So we're going to start in the first, let's read verse 17 to 20, then we'll come back and look at 17. So Psalms 119, verse 17 says, deal bountifully with your servant that I may live and keep your word. Deal bountifully with your servant that I may live and keep your word. Then he says, open my eyes. This is what we looked at last week, that I may behold wonderful things from your law, from God's word. Then he says in verse 19, I am a stranger in the earth. Do not hide your commandments from me. Verse 20, oh, I love this. I can't wait till we get there. He says, my soul is crushed with longing after your ordinances at all times. Let me stop here. So here's another homework assignment, saints. There's a verse that's very similar to verse 20 in the New Testament. That's probably not enough information for you all. All right, we'll get back there. We'll get there. 20, he says, you rebuke the arrogant, the curse. Who are the arrogant and the curse? Those who wander from your commandments. He says, take reproach or shame and contempt from me, for I observe your testimonies. Even though princes, people in authority, rulers, sit and talk against me, your servant meditates on your statutes. Your testimonies also are my delight. They are my counselors. Oh, it's so much we're going to get into. Not today, but eventually we'll get there. But I want to start us here in this first verse. And when I go into this first verse here, there's a couple of verses that I want us to read in the New Testament that really wets my heart for this verse and helps me to understand it in a different way. The first verse is John 14, 15, which says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Remember Jesus said that? That if you love me, keep my commandments. It's not just enough to say, I love you, Jesus. But he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Do what I say. Follow my word. Don't just say you believe in me and you don't follow me. Jesus is not just looking for people to just say, I believe in you. He says, make disciples, people that follow me, to emulate me, to be like me. That's what a disciple is. That's what a Christian is. Christian is not just simply a person that says, I believe in Jesus, but it's a person who's committed their life to Jesus. And they are following Jesus because, one, he's their Lord and Savior, but their goal is to be like him in all their ways, to be a disciple of Jesus, right? So that's one verse. I just want to put that out there when you go to this verse. Think about John 14, 15. And then the next verse that I want us to go to, and we've been here before, but I just think it's worth going back there, is John 3, 36. So John 3, 36. I always go to this verse because it's a powerful point that I think that is made here. All right. John 3:36. We here? The scripture says here, he who believes in the Son has eternal life, right? If I believe in the Son, he has eternal life, right? But he who does not, what? Obey the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God abides with him, abides on him. So this word obey is parallel to what? Say that again. Somebody said it. Huh? No, I said this word obey is parallel to what verse? I know you want to say it, but you can't say it. What is this word obey parallel to in this verse here? It's parallel to another word that we just read in the same verse. Somebody said it. I heard you say it already. Oh, that was you that said it? Okay. I said, there we go. There you go. Believe. This word obey is parallel to the word believe. So it means to believe in Jesus is to what? Obey. That's what that means. It's not just, so I'm just trying to show you this, that it's not just, oh, I believe in you, Jesus, I love you, but he said, you got to obey me. You follow my commandments. So that's what he's saying here. He who believes in the Son has eternal life, but he who does not obey, which is now parallel to believe, the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. So to believe in Jesus also is to obey and follow Jesus, follow what he says. And so now when we go back to Psalms 119, let's read this verse. He says, deal bountifully with your servant that I may live and keep your word. So what does he want to do? The psalmist here. What is his joy? What is his hope here in Psalms 119? What does he want to do? He wants to obey, right? It's the same thing that we're seeing there in John 3:36. He says, deal bountifully with your servant so that I may live and keep your word. This word bountifully in the Hebrew means to like favorably. So deal favorably. I can't even say it. Somebody say it for me. Favorably with me, right? With your servant so that I may live and keep your word. Let me give you another way of understanding this verse. There's some people, including me, I would say, if you ask me, well, before I read this verse, if you ask them, why do you want to live a long life? Why do you want to live a long life? You would hear people say, including me in some of these things, you would say, some people say to see my kids grow up, right? I want to live a long life so I can see my kids grow up. Or some people would say, I want to live a long life so that I can see my grandkids, right? Some people say that. Back in the day, my grandma could probably attest to this, some people said, they would say, I want to live long because I want to see the first black president. I know that was a big thing in the black community. They're like, I want to see the first black president, and we had one. That was something that many people hoped for, right? Some people say, I want to live a long life so I can see the technological advances. Man, what is the world going to look like? Are they going to be flying cars or flying pigs? I don't know, right? I'm just throwing out stuff. But if you ask the psalmist here, why do you, Mr. Psalm writer, why do you want to live a long life? What do you think his answer would be? Say that again louder. To keep your word. That's what this verse is getting at here. He's like, God, deal bountifully with your servant, not so that I can live and just do me and go live my life and see all of these kids and see my grandkids and all that. He's like, no, I want to live a full life. I want you to have to look on me with a favorable view so that I can live this life to keep your word. That's his point. That's how he would answer that question. I want a long life. I want to be here on this earth. Why? So that I could live to keep your word. And this verse brought conviction on my heart because I'm like, I don't think like that, Lord. When I read the verse, my first thought would have been like, I want to see my kids grow up, hopefully go to college, get married, and have some grandkids maybe, and me and my wife grow old together, and how that's going to look, and that would be my natural answer. I would not think like this psalmist here who's saying, I want to live as long as possible. I want you to be bountiful for me. I want you to be kind towards me, God, that I may live to keep your word. Like, that's his hope. And so I'm challenged by that. So are you challenged by that, Saints? Like, does that hit you like, man, that's not why, if somebody asked me that question, why I wanted to live long or have as long as possible on this earth, that wouldn't be my response and my answer. Or would that be your response to your answer? How would you have answered that before I said what I said? Would you have responded in this way? Or would you have said something closer to what I thought? What would have been your response? Yeah, I'm asking a question. What was it? It would have been like mine's? Right? Me growing old together? Okay.
So like now that we're in Christ or like before we
came to Christ? No, before, like I'm in Christ, right? But I'm saying before me studying this verse, Melissa, I didn't think this way. This wasn't the first thought out of my mouth on why, like it would have been living, like I said, it would have been, I want to see my grandkids. That's why I want God to bless me and be favorable upon me so I can live a while so that I can see all these different things. It wouldn't have been, God, so I can glorify your name here on this earth. It wouldn't be, God, so I can praise you on this earth or so I can tell people about you on this earth, right? But this is the heart of the psalmist here. Go ahead, Manny.
Yeah, it would have been for me, like if I haven't had put the Lord first into these, be worried about other things, job,
yeah,
money, all that. It's not about that. It's about focusing on him first.
Yeah.
Because everything's falling into place. Everything.
Yeah.
Because I've been focusing on the Lord just for his will for me. I get up every morning before I even go to that bathroom. I drop to my knees.
Yeah.
And I give him praise and glory. I drop straight to my knees and I thank him. Even before I go to bed, I put him first in all my life. Now that he comes first, everything's falling into place for him. I'm in the cup. I got my sobriety.
Amen.
Man, I'm so thankful. Oh, God, I'm so thankful for being sober. Because he helped me. He guides me.
Amen.
Without him, none of this is just everything. It has to be. You have to lean on him. So for everything.
Yeah.
For everything. Especially if he comes from where I come from. And it just like, he gives me my strength. Without him, I would be focused on the world. I don't want to focus on the world and what the world has. Because
amen.
That's going to all fade away. The world is coming to an end as we know it.
Yeah.
So now I'm focused on heaven. Heaven.
So you're like the psalmist now here. You're like, I want to live to keep your word,
yes,
to do your will, to keep your commandments.
Yes. It says, right here, it says, recognizing that we have God's daily grace and strength just to sustain us.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Letting my main focus, seeking his glory, seeking him, and just dedicating my time to him. Whenever I'm alone, whenever I'm at that, whatever time that I have, and I'm not doing something, trying to help me get a job or in recovery or talking to somebody about the Lord, I'm in my Bible.
Amen. Amen. It's good. Let me give you this example I've seen before. So a few years ago, I seen this documentary on North Korea, right? And there were like these medical missionaries, I want to say. They went to Korea. And they were going there because there was a large population of people that had cataracts. And you know, with cataracts, it's like a gloss that covers your eyes. And I guess they didn't have the skills to remove the cataract. I guess it's a real simple procedure, but they didn't have it. And so these doctors went over there and they removed the cataract from this lady's eye. And you know what she, because this is North Korea and they like worship their leader there, right? Like they think their leader is God. Yeah. Like they literally worship him. And so when he removed the cataract, she was like, oh, now I got good eyes. So now I, how did she say it? She's like, I have good eyes so that now I can work harder in the factories for you and serve you, my emperor. And like her whole purpose, like now that I can see better, now I can go and work for you more. And that's kind of, in a way, that's, again, that's what the psalmist is getting at. He's like, God, deal bountifully with me so that I can live to keep your word. It's kind of like a blind man saying, God, I want sight so I can just do more for you. Like, give me sight so I can, like, be a more effective person for you. That's kind of how this psalmist is thinking. He's like, I just want to live for you, God. So be favorably upon me, how I live on this earth so that I can live a long, full life to serve you and keep your commandments. So his heart is, I want to keep God's commandment. That's why I live. That's why I breathe. I just want to be pleasing in your sight, doing what you say. And this is something that we want to adapt in our life. Why are you living? Are you living for God to do what he says, to be his people on this earth? Or are you living for yourself? The psalmist says he wants to live so that he can keep God's word. And that's how we should be. All right, you guys. It's 12:10 and it's a lot more, but it's already past time. I think we'll pause. Let me see. All right, I know I said this. Can we just do one more, y'all? Let's just do one more.
Yeah.
All right. We've touched on 18 last week, so we're going to skip on 18 because we did that last week. And we're going to go to 19. Remember last week, we looked at 18 and it's recorded. So if you want to go back, you can listen to that one. But I want to jump to just 19 here. He says this. He says, I am a stranger in the earth. Do not hide your commandments from me. I am a stranger in the earth. Do not hide your commandments from me. I'm going to let you guess on this or give your thoughts. And no looking at commentaries, okay? So we're not looking at commentaries today.
Why?
No looking at commentaries. No. This is, put your commentaries up. This is you reading yourself and putting the verses together and kind of giving your understanding, okay? No commentaries. No cross-reference right now. So when you read this verse, I am a stranger in the earth. Do not hide your commandments from me. What do you think the psalmist is talking about? Because that seems kind of wild, right? He goes for, Lord, let me live a long time so I can keep your word. Then he says, to open my eyes that I may behold wonderful things from your law. And then out of nowhere, he says, I'm a stranger in the earth. Do not hide your commandments from me. What do you think he's getting at here? What do you think he's saying?
Something along the lines, but I feel like not of the world anymore, into worldly things, or less trying to hold the Lord's commandments in his life, opposed to walking like a worldly walk.
Yeah, that's okay. I think you're spot on in there. That's part of it. I would say yes and amen to that. Because we are strangers now that we're in. Mm-hmm. Okay, now you're good. This is what we want. That's what this is for. This is like Bible study. This is not me just feeding you the answer. I'm trying to help develop these critical thinking muscles. He's not of this world. Okay. That's good. Sister Pat. Thank you for your contribution. That's good. Anybody else want to just speak on that? What is the psalmist saying here when he says, I am a stranger in the earth. Do not hide your commandments from me.
I would say that I'm a stranger on earth, meaning I'm not really no more.
I'm not of the world no more. And do not hide your commands from me. Like, don't let your commands go away from me.
Uh-huh. But why doesn't he want his commandments to go away from him? You want to go, Sister Debbie? Go ahead.
I feel like he's basically saying he realizes maybe his citizenship is in heaven, for one. He's set apart.
Uh-huh.
He is like this only light in this darkened world.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like he only wants to be where he's known. Like he's a foreigner to the earth.
Oh, I love it. That's actually what the word that's used here, foreigner. Come on.
Okay.
Okay, he's a foreigner. Stranger, you guys are there. So imagine this. So imagine if Adam and Eve, right? Hypothetical. Let's say, imagine God creates Adam and Eve, just drops him off in the garden. They just wake up. They don't know God. They look up like, oh, who are you? Who are you, right? You just pop up, there's a person in front of you, and you look around, and there's trees, and there's a world, and there's rivers, and there's donkeys. I don't know why I said donkeys, but bears. And imagine that happens, and God never, ever speaks to them, never, ever commissions them, never, ever gives them any instruction. They have to just figure it out. That's the situation that the psalmist in. He's pitching himself like a foreigner dropped off in a land where he doesn't know what to do. He doesn't know the code. So he's like, God, give me your instructions to lead me in this foreign land because I don't even know where I'm at. How do I navigate in this world? I'm like a stranger. So he's like, your commandments is like a map for me. I'm just dropped off here. I'm a stranger in this place, and I don't know where I'm going and how to maneuver. So I need your commandments to help me to maneuver in this foreign place where I am a stranger. So that's the heart of what he's getting at when he's like, I'm a stranger here and I need your, do not hide it because without your word, I would not know how to maneuver in this world, how to go about it. And guess what? That was many of us, how we lived before we met Jesus, right? We were like strangers in this world because we didn't have God's word. We went around falling into ditches, right? Making mistakes, bumping our head, hitting our, why? Because we didn't have God's instruction. So what do? We lean to our own understanding, right? We made mistakes. And here's the thing, when you don't have God's instruction, there's somebody that's gonna lead you. Who's that person? In comes the kingdom of darkness, right? He leads us in certain ways. We're falling into ditches, bumping our head, making mistakes that we just necessarily didn't have to make, but because we didn't have the commandments of God, because we didn't know, we made these mistakes. And so that was our life. We were like these strangers with no commandments. We were like a stranger dropped off in a foreign country with no map. And we got to just figure it out. And many of us try to figure it out and we hurt ourselves in the process of figuring it out, right? But now that we have our map, right? Now that we have the word of God, now that we are in Christ, we're like, God, don't take you. I need your word to survive. I need your word for counsel. I need your word to show me how to go. I need your word to show me how to deal with my wife, my kids, my coworker. Like, I need you because I'm a stranger here on this earth. Why? Because it's not my home. My home is with you, but I'm just a stranger here. And I need your word to be my treasure map to guide me on how I go about. That's the thought here that the psalmist has. He's using this word stranger. I'm a foreigner, as Melissa said, here in the earth. Don't hide your commandments from me because I'm going to fall. I'm going to fail. I need you. So that's the thought that the psalmist has here. And so the question I would ask you, like, how would I ask this? Let me see, what did I put here? Before you were in the Lord, do you feel like you were this stranger just trying to figure out life? And do you see now, as you look back on your life, how many of those mistakes you made because you were like this stranger in a foreign land with no map to guide you anywhere? And so you did certain things. Like, is that many of your story? Would you say you were like that? You just, because you didn't have a map, you didn't have God's guidance, and so you kind of just try to make the best of it and figure out things, but in the process, you fell into some ditches. You hit some walls. You stubbed your toe. Like, was that your story, or how would you respond to that question?
Yeah, I'd say for sure it's a ditch. Always.
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 And I feel like without the word of God, I mean, me personally, like ever since I started reading, it's like, yeah, it gives you direct when you feel displaced,
yeah,
lost, you know, his commandments, his word, it like matters.
Yeah.
And it never leads you to a dead end. And if you're willing to listen, obey, and follow in this God's word, I feel like, you know, haven't been to a dead end yet. It's everything I'm going through, every problem, like when I try to do it on my own, I always run into a dead end, I always fraud, you know, and I don't know what to do, I don't know where to go. And you know, at that time, you know, I just try to do it on my own, and still,
right,
dead end, you know, dead end street. But, yeah, no, for sure, though, I would say, this is for sure a map, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of times, you know, just dead ends, without the word of God, of course, without God, you know, with me,
yeah,
like that every day. You know, it's, it does. You for sure won't run into dead ends. I mean, that's all I want to say.
Yeah.
For sure won't run into dead ends with the word of God. So yeah, that's all I want to say.
Okay. Okay. No, that's good. Anybody else? Would you say, like, you look back over your life? He was just saying that, yeah, he would agree that he ran into a lot of dead ends because he didn't have God's instructions and words in his life. And so he hit those walls. And how now he'll never be lost because he has the map. He has God's word, his commandments to help guide him and lead him. So that's in a nutshell what he was saying. Anybody else? How would you answer this as far as the instruction that you receive? Like me, I'm sure many of others growing up in the streets or whatever, we got a lot of instruction from people, but it was instruction that didn't lead us to life, right? It was instruction that led us to dead ends, to doing other things. Things that are not of God. And that instruction that we received, it may have been from an OG, but who behind that OG was the kingdom of darkness that was telling this young dude, this, I'm gonna give him some game on how to go about life, but it was really leading us to darkness. It wasn't the instructions from God. And we see that because we see many of the things that we've done, it hurt us because that instruction was bad. So that's when you don't have God's word, you're really just like this foreigner and you're stuck. And you're just gonna go and just hit your head and hit walls. You need God's word. You need his commandment. It is a map. It is a light. It helps guide us. And so that's what the psalmist is getting at here in verse 19 when he says, I'm a stranger in the earth. We need him because our home is not here. Our home is ultimately is with the Lord. But while we're here, we need his guidance and instruction. So that we can live holy, so that we can live righteously, right? We need his word. So that's the heart of the psalmist here.